PM preaching tonight. What's the name of the message? Why go soul winning? Because of the joy it brings. The joy it brings. Oh my goodness sakes. Think about that. What's the verse say here? They that sow in tears shall reap in what?
Joy.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. I like that. I like these shall doubtless promises. Shall doubtless. Shall doubtless. And you know, you're not going to win somebody every time you go, but if you stay consistent, I got to promise that God's going to bless it. Shall doubtless come again, how? With rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let me give you the 3 points real quickly. Look up here and listen, and we'll have our invitation. We'll have our meeting. Let me explain the joy, the threefold joy that comes from soul winning. Number one, the joy that it brings to the soul winner. The joy that it brings to the soul winner. You know, we're talking about somebody that's willing, the Bible says, to sow in tears. And then the promise that if you're willing to do that, you'll reap in joy. That's one of the reasons I talked about this matter of the fact that there must be a burden. There must, tears must come before the joy. Let me say that again. Tears must come before the joy. There's a difference between somebody going out there and just, come on, robotically, methodically, not really have your heart into it. Just sitting out there doing it. Now, listen, we still need to spread the gospel, but the promise here is connected to somebody that's willing to care about it. Come on, willing to have a broken heart over it. You know, I talked about two ministries I was involved with when I went to Bible college. For the first 2 years I went to Bible college, I was involved in Fisherman's Club. And you know what? It was a training program so that I could learn how to be a better soul winner. And I went with, first of all, with a trainer, somebody that was good at it, listen to them. They helped train me and teach me and then allow me to have opportunities and encourage me and correct me and help me. And you know what? Through Dal Allen was his name, my trainer. I owe a lot to that man because he's the one that really, I think, I knew the basics of soul winning, but there was so much that I didn't know. And Dal was a bold soul winner, and boy, he would challenge me, and he'd make me memorize verses, and by the next week, I'd have to memorize a verse about soul winning, and he taught me so much. And then, you know what, I was able after that, 3 different semesters, to be able to take somebody that didn't know how to go soul winning and train them to be a soul winner. You know, folks, it's one thing to be a soul winner, it's another thing to train somebody else to be a soul winner. Now, as a soul winner, you're going to win a certain number of people to Jesus Christ. But think of the reward that's attached with training other people to be soul winners. Because I believe everybody they want win to Christ. Part of that goes to your account. So learn how to be a soul winner. And then, you know what? Turn around and find somebody else that's a little backwards, doesn't know, and encourage them to go with you and train them to be a soul winner. And so the tears, folks, must become before the joy. So I did Fisherman's Club. And this is what I say. Fisherman's Club was good, and it trained my mind. But then after that, I joined the bus ministry. And you know what? The bus ministry is where it changed my heart. The bus ministry is where I learned to have the tears. The bus ministry is where God broke my heart. The bus ministry is where I began to care for people. And I began to week in, week out, be involved in the same people's lives in the same area, praying over the same streets, asking them, begging God to help me to reach families. And folks, it's amazing if you'll just get into it, do it, what God will do in your heart. Brother Jeff, am I telling the truth? You can look, you need to lose your heart to somebody. You know, come on. I'm just afraid we're so self-centered and everything's about us. And you know, you got to lose your life to find it. That's King James Holy Bible. Those are red letter words. I didn't say it. Jesus did. You got to lose your life to find it. And I remember walking, I'm not going to tell all the stories because of time, but I went with a bus captain that was trying to train me to be a bus captain. And I watched that man cry when he would go to the doors and talk to his bus kids. And, you know, I did that for about 2 hours. And he turned around and said, "You're on your own now." And he walked off. And I watched that man wipe tears for 2 hours. I said, "I found a little place to get on my face." Come on. Right there, come on, in the inner city Chicago, I went to an abandoned building downstairs, a little scene, and I swept broken glass away and got on my face and said, "God, I don't know what that man has, but I can't serve you and do a good job without whatever that was." And folks, every one of us need to have our hearts broken. You know, I taught on soul winning one time at a meeting. I won't tell you where the meeting was and the importance of soul winning. It's actually doing a session on youth, on teen soul winning, how to start a teen soul winning program. And I could tell there was a couple of guys that sat in the back, and they, you know, they went to the session, but they were skeptical. And he, one of the guys raised his hand and said, you know, we tried that for 6 months. You know, I love these guys that try something for 6 months. God didn't tell you to try it for 6 months. He told you to do it. We tried that for 6 months, but after 6 months of knocking on doors, you know what? We didn't see anybody, any results of it. So we decided to disband that ministry and try to do things that are more effective in reaching people. I mean, he just came to the session to be a scorner against soul winning. And I said, so you were involved in it, sir? And he said, yes. You and your wife, I'm assuming, yes. And all your teenagers, yes. And you didn't see any results from it in 6 months. He said, no, I didn't. And I said, let me ask you a question. Did you ever shed a tear? Did your wife ever shed a tear? I said, did any of your teenagers ever shed a tear? And boy, he didn't know what to say. You say, what were you doing? I was smiting the scorner. That the simple may beware, amen? You're going to pull that stuff in front of me. I know my Bible. Okay, you're not going to pull that junk on me. Okay? A lot of people that go soul winning and quit soul winning because it doesn't work. You know why it's not working? Because here's the promise. Come on. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And so part of going soul winning, part of being in the bus ministry is developing a burden for an area, a burden for a people. And that's why, you know, I took that bus ministry experience, then I took the soul winning. I remember sitting in my office one day, folks, listen to me, and I had that map that's back there now, or a map like it, and I had it in my office, and I'm sitting there praying, God, we've tried so many different things, you know, and how can I get people to have the same burden for a bus route that some of our people have a bus route? How can they transfer? And all of a sudden, it was like I'm staring at that map, and God began to speak my heart, and I grabbed a dry eraser marker, and I went over there, and I just started, and most of what you're seeing right out there, I just sketched out on that map in my office, and I said, what if for an entire year a family would just say, this is my mission field. This is my Jerusalem within a Jerusalem. We're going to have a burden for it. We're going to work it. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to give us results. We're going to pray. We're going to be faithful. We're going to plead for souls. We're going to ask for tears. We're going to seek Holy Spirit fullness. Okay, and so the tears must become before the joy, the wonder of a divine appointment. Where does the joy come from for a soul winner? First of all, you go out there and you ask God, break my heart for people, break my heart for people, break my heart for people, give me tears. And then as you're doing that, you know what? You discover as you go soul winning, God does something called divine appointments. And the neatest thing in the world is probably the first time a soul winner or somebody getting into soul winning experiences something called the divine appointment. And all of a sudden you realize this is just not me out here wandering around trying to find somebody. It is God directing me to somebody. And many of you, I could call for testimonies right now and have people stand up, and we could take the next hour of soul winners in this room that would say, preacher, let me tell you about a time when I went out soul winning, and I'm going to tell you something. You talk about God having somebody ready, or God directing me in an unusual manner to be in the right place at the right time. And you experienced that a few times, and you know what you realize? If I just go out there and get out there and make myself available, and if I stay tender to the Holy Spirit of God, and I ask him to direct me, and I listen to him, come on. If you're going to be filled with something, you got to, first of all, empty the container you're wanting to fill. If we're full of self and sin, there's no room for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You begin to ask God to break your heart. I mean, I right now could put you all in a bus. I don't know if we can get all in a bus, but we get one of those double-deckers. But I could put you in a car, any one of you. I could drive you to Chicago. I could drive you to an alley. I could tell you 3 months into being a bus captain, begging God to help me reach people, getting a burden for families, trying to get them to get on the bus, not being successful, going back week after week, talking to the parents, pleading with kids, having them tell me they're going to come, then not come on. Bus workers, we all go through it, you know. And I remember after dark one night, I'm cutting through an alley, and it's just like the entire burden of all of this. I can't explain it. But everyone in here needs to have it and experience it. I'm not talking about falling down and rolling around and slain in the spirit and speaking in tongues and a bunch of nonsense. Right. But I remember walking down that alley, and I was so broken, and I was so discouraged, and I thought, God, I can't get this done. And I was so overwhelmed, and there was snow on the ground, And I'm out after dark walking through an alley, and I literally, folks, I'm not trying to be overdramatic. I don't think I've ever told this story before, but I know God wants me to tell it. But God just stopped me in my tracks, and everything inside of me was gone. And I fell onto the snow, into that alley, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept. And I said, God, without something supernatural happening, I can't do this. Amen. And folks, listen to me. It's about time we start seeking that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not spooky, but all I know is I got off that ground that day a different person than I was. And I began to see God do things that wasn't happening before. And you can call it whatever you want to call it, but I'm just saying this. You know what? When we follow the Bible formula and we let God break our heart over something and we get serious about it, we realize, come on, the reality of hell, how life and death it is. This is everything. This is eternity. And when you let God really break your heart over a group of people or a section or a bus route or something, man, I'm telling you, things begin to happen. And so, amen. That's something I've kept here, and I've shared it with you. Treat it sacredly, please. And then all of a sudden, we have the tears before the joy. We have the wonder of divine appointments, where all of a sudden, God is allowing you to meet the right person at the right time, and things begin to happen, miraculous things. And then all of a sudden, the joy of reaping. Did you see that? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And boy, I'll tell you what, the joy that it brings the soul winner. How about the joy that it brings the one that's saved? Amen. So you're experiencing this joy in watching God work in somebody's heart as you're going through the scriptures. And then all of a sudden your heart is overflowing because they look at you and say, yes, I want to be saved. And you pray with them and they look up and there's tears in their eyes and there's a smile on their face and they're overflowing with joy and you're overflowing with joy. Remember I talked about divine appointments? You know, I'm not going to go there and read the whole story, but remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and that miraculous working of the Spirit and direction of the Spirit of God. And you know what? At the end of that story, the Bible says he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And the last verse says this, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know why? Because before Philip came, he's just looking in a copy of the book of Isaiah, and he's burdened, and he's under conviction. He's sitting in that chariot, and he can't figure it out. And all of a sudden, God brings along somebody that can explain it to him. How can I accept? Understandest what thou readest? How can I accept some man should guide me? You know how many people God's working on and preparing, but they need somebody to open the Bible and say, let me explain it to you. That's exciting, man. So you have the joy of the soul winner. You have the joy of the one that is saved. You know, when you get into your section, man, this is such a supernatural thing. You know, I'm pretty systematic in the way I cover my section. But at the same time, every time I go out, I'll go back to the map. And what I'll do is, you know, I'll mark what I did the year or the week before. And then when I'm getting ready to go again, I'll take my phone back out there and I'll go and take a picture of it so that I can look at my phone and know what streets I need to do next. And I usually am pretty systematic, but I always pause at the, listen, let's let God get in on this. Amen. And I'll always pause back there and I'll say, Lord, I'm planning on doing this section next, but Holy Spirit, please, if you want me to do a different street, if you want me to do something else, if you want me to go back and see somebody, just what do you want me to do? Where do I need to be? Where do I need to be? And if you'll listen to the Lord, it's amazing. The first section I ever took was the section that has Lewis in it. And I'm going to tell you, again, I'm not trying to be spooky or weird. This doesn't always happen. But usually the teens would do like the little populated areas. And I think I called Brother Gordon that year and I said, Brother Gordon, I don't know why, but you know what? I want to do Lewis. So tell the teen, you know, take that, mark that off the map. They don't have to come over here and do, you know, come on, folks, it's Lewis, all right? It's not exactly like I'm taking on Linton by myself, all right? We're talking Lewis. But I knew that God wanted me to. And I'd drive through there and I'd get so burdened. And I remember when I first started doing Lewis, I drove off into a side road and I just sat there and prayed over the houses. And I don't know how to take it, but there's just sometimes this like bearing witness of the Holy Spirit. Somebody's here. There's a reason I wanted you to do this. There's a reason you needed to be here. That's exciting when it gets to that. Again, you're not looking at super Christian. Pastor Jerry Ross has all of his problems and all of his shortcomings, and so many times I've failed God. But if God, listen, if he can't use messes, what is he going to use? Because we're all a mess. But man, when we surrendered it over to the Lord, and I remember saying, you know, just praying and just saying, Lord, I just think that I'm supposed to do this, and there's somebody here. And that day, I started on one of the corners there in Lewis and was knocking doors, and nobody hardly home. And I finally got to a house, and I knocked on the door, and lady came to the door, really not that interested. And she said, yeah, you know, we got our church and all this. And I said, okay, all right. And she started to shut the door, and she opened it back up. And she said, you know, my sister next door is kind of going through a tough time. She might be interested. Isn't that interesting? Yes. And I looked at her and said, here's a woman not even interested. Didn't even really want to take the packet. I mean, she took it, but you could tell she'd rather handed it back. But she all of a sudden just said that. There, I look over, and there's a little trailer next to the house there. And I walk over to that trailer and knock on the door. And I knock, and I can hear kids in there. And I can hear somebody in there. It's one of those, you know, come on. And I thought, well, she's not going to come to the door. I'll leave the pack. And about the time I'm starting to hang it on the doorknob, the door opens about that much. And, you know, this adult lady, young lady named Brooke, peeks out the door. And I looked at her, and I could tell she'd been crying. She's got a couple kids back behind her, and she's trying to rally them, and they're rambunctious and stuff. And she said, can I help you? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I said, listen, I'm a preacher. And as soon as I said that, she should start crying. And I said, something's going on. I said, can I pray for you? And boy, she just cried some more. And I won't go through all the circumstance that was going on in her life, but you know what? She just opened her heart and poured her heart out to me. And I handed her the packet. And I said, listen, I don't know the answers to all that, but I know the one who has them. And I said, you know what? Why don't you come to church? I talked to her a little bit about salvation, and she told me about going to a church down south and having made a decision when she was young. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I can't read people's heart. But I said, why don't you come to church? And she said, I will. I need it. You know, sometimes you have people tell you that. You don't know if they're coming. Well, guess what? Next Sunday, here she come. She came one Sunday. She came the next Sunday morning. She came the next Sunday morning. Third Sunday morning. On Saturday, me and Cheryl called her and said, hey, why don't you bring the kids tomorrow? And afterwards, why don't you come home and eat with us? And we'll get a chance to talk about some things. And she came, and we went to eat. Three Sunday mornings in a row, happened to be during our spring program, three Sundays in a row, I preached a salvation, clear, crystal clear salvation message. At the dinner table, I looked across from her, and I called her by name, and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you've come for 3 weeks now. You've heard how to be saved. You've heard clear, I think very clear salvation messages. And she started tearing up and going like this. I said, let me just ask you a question. And I said, just, you know, be 100% honest with me. You know what you did to the little girl in that church down there? Do you think you did that because the Holy Spirit was really working on you and you were under conviction and you really understood the gospel? You really feel secure in that decision? And she started going like this right away. She said, I was thinking about it. I think I just did it because the other kids did it. And I said, I see that God's tenderized your heart. I see the tears. I said, would you like to be saved? She said, I would. I said, well, let me tell you what we're going to do. The kids here, all right, I'm a grandpa. I know where the toys are. So we're going to go find the toys, and we're going to sit down in the dining room area, right in the same area you and Cheryl be, right around the corner. And I said, I'm going to play with the kids. And I'm going to have my wife sit down with you and take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And I was close enough to listen to that girl cry out to the Lord and get saved. Shortly after that, she moved to Illinois, and she stays in contact with me and Cheryl from time to time. And you know what? She's dear to us. Do you know why she's dear to us? Because, brother, that's like Ethiopian eunuch stuff. That's a divine appointment stuff. And bus workers, it's just not for operation occupation. It's for your route, too. Oh, preacher, you know, we just can't. Where's the tears? You want to reap, where's the tears? Where's the burden? Where's the price that you're willing to pay? And so, you know, the joy of the one that's saved. To watch that girl, to walk in that room with her two little kids after she got saved. Actually, she only brought one of them, I think, that day. Me and her daughter, little, you know, I don't know, six-year-old daughter's in there playing dolls or something, you know. Come on, I'm a grandpa. Get off of me. I got 10 granddaughters. I know how to play dolls, all right? But to walk in that room when they were finished and have her stand up, hug my neck and say, thank you so much for coming by my house. Amen. Now, preach, and now, folks, look up here. I wish I could tell you that every week I have a story like that. I don't. A lot of weeks, it doesn't seem like there's any reason for me to be out there. Sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes it seems like nobody listened and nobody cared and nobody wanted it. But there was a lot of doors that I hung packets on. You know what? I don't know what. What did you say to me, Brother Bud, this morning? That little phrase out of that song, do you remember what you said to me? The seeds we have sown will then be made known. Came to me after the morning service this morning, told me that, and I said, woo! He said, that's a phrase out of a song. You know what? I don't know what happened to all those seeds, but God knows. And I got to promise, his word's not going to return void. And so, you know what? A bad day of soul winning. Come on, look right up here. A bad day of soul winning. You may get to heaven and find out it was the greatest day of soul winning you ever had. And number three, we're done. The joy that it brings in heaven. There's a couple of parables Jesus spoke out. One of them was about a man that lost one of his sheep. And he went and searched for it, and he found it. And then he said to the people when he found the sheep, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than the 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then there's a story about a lady that lost one of her pieces of silver, a coin. And you know what? She swept the house diligently and found it. And the end of that story, here we have, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. You know, folks, there's a joy that I feel as a soul winner. There's the joy that I see and they experience as the person being saved. And then you know what? There's the joy that's going on in the presence of the angels. Now think about that. Presence of the angels, you know. Doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. There's joy in the presence of the angels. Well, who's up there? You know what? Maybe that girl that got saved, maybe that little girl that we got to lead to Christ, maybe her great-grandma was saved and she's up there and she's having a Babdecostal fan. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Everybody that gets saved, I promise you, they've got some family up there that's saved that is paying attention to what's going on. I think there's the heavenly witnesses. I don't care who gets saved. I think when you're in heaven, you're going to rejoice no matter who it is. Man, to see a family or a friend or a coworker get saved, you know, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. There's the rejoicing of God himself. You don't think God's heavily invested in this? You don't think Jesus is heavily invested in this? You don't think the Holy Spirit's heavily invested in this? I don't know if there's anything that brings more joy to the heart of a triune God than to see somebody receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm talking about the reasons we ought to go soul winning. Why go soul winning? Because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why go soul winning? Because of the reality of hell. Why go soul winning? Because of the joy that it brings. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. And Lord, we've been commissioned. And we talked about it in Sunday school. Lord, you left us marching orders. We've been commanded to do something that's near and dear to your heart. Jesus, you set the example for us. You gave us the story to tell. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. As I said in my introduction, Lord, I don't want to try to direct and dictate. And everybody's got to listen. Everybody's got to pray. And everybody's got to follow your leading. But I pray, Lord, that we, if we don't get involved in this, it's because we're already involved in something else. Lord, don't let Christians just keep sitting on the sidelines. Lord, some of our folks in here, there's a fire burning inside of them, and they'd love to be able to go back there and take a section, but you know what? Age or physical malady has made that impossible for them. Lord, I pray that they would really know how important it is, Lord, for them to be involved through prayer. And so I pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts right now. Do a sweet work. Lord, I really I don't think I'm overstating this, and I want the people to hear me pray it. But Lord, I really believe that the right decisions that are made tonight could make the difference of hundreds of people on whether or not they go to heaven or hell. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be tender and obedient to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.